On this episode of the Other Bundesliga podcast, we've got an all-Austrian 11, a legend leaving the league, and a surprise team mixing it in the top six. Hello and welcome to another weekly episode of the Other Bundesliga podcast. My name's Tom Midler. I'm joined again by Lee Wingate, and we are at the lovely Long Hall Pub and Kitchen in Vienna. We're back. We haven't been here for a while, have we, Lee?
No, we haven't, and it's a lovely day as well. The sun's shining. We're in the garden. We're going to have a drink. It's going to be lovely.
Yeah, if you hear the rustling of some trees or noises of some other guests, then don't be alarmed. That's all it is. We're just back at the Long Hall to record the pod. This week, though, there's actually a little bit of business I want to talk about before we begin, and that is the closing of our Other Bundesliga Patreon page. We have either closed or are about to close our Patreon page, depending on when you're listening to this. And I just want to say a massive thanks, basically, to anyone who has ever part, whether that was just for a month or for a much longer time, as some people were. Anyone who's ever supported us on Patreon, we're very, very grateful for that. We've just felt that after a long time of not really being able to produce a lot of other content for Patreon, we sort of posted on Patreon a while ago that the videos would stop on there. We're just going to continue in a kind of buy me a coffee-esque method. And after a lot of thinking, we just thought, actually, it's best to move over, in fact, to Buy Me A Coffee. So we will be opening Buy Me A Coffee / Other Bundesliga. You'll be able to find us on there. We just think it sort of fits the model, really. You can just chip in. You know, there's no subscription necessary. It's a bit easier to pay. It's actually easier for us to receive the money as well. But that doesn't mean anything other than that we're extremely grateful to anyone who's ever chipped into us on Patreon. So thanks for that. And yes, maybe we'll find you on Buy Me A Coffee. But to move to the Austrian Bundesliga, or at least the Austrian teams anyway. Two of the Bundesliga teams were in action in European qualifying this week. That's Rapid and LASK. Both of them came away with victories. That's a very pleasing start. We had the Leonardo DiCaprio gifs out. Was it Wolf of Wall Street, you know, toasting the successes gif? But Rapid, above LASK perhaps even, recorded a wonderful result. And Lee, you were there at the Allianz in Hütteldorf to see Rapid 1, Fiorentina 0. What a game.
Yeah, and a huge transformation when you think of what happened in the home playoff tie in European qualifiers last year, where Rapid lost to Vaduz of Liechtenstein. And there were lots of, you know, recriminations, anger among the supporters. It was a bit of a volatile atmosphere at Rapid for a while. And this was really just the complete opposite. They beat a storied European club, a club that no fewer than, I think, was it 3 months ago, were in the Europa Conference League final. Against, who did they play against? They played West Ham in Prague, wasn't it? And they performed really well. And as you know, Tom, I've been quite critical in the past of Rapid on this podcast, but I just have to say I was so impressed. I was blown away. The fans were amazing. The atmosphere is always good. But the performance on the pitch, I really liked how they got at them. They were attacking really high, pressing really high. They didn't give Fiorentina really any time to gather any sort of possession. They were quite direct when they did get the ball. They were compact at the back. I don't really remember thinking there's a really great chance for Fiorentina there. Rapid just generally looked defensively solid. And to top it all off, they had an all-Austrian starting 11. And I think it's a pretty rare occurrence in worldwide football now, but especially in European football, to have everybody from the same country and from the country that team is actually from. So all round, it was a perfect night.
Yeah, a partially injury-enforced Austrian 11, but still, Rapid obviously have a very good calibre of young Austrian players coming through, and that resulted in this incredible all-Austrian starting 11 against Fiorentina. But as you said, to compare it to that game against Vaduz, I think whatever happens now, you know, it's important that we do say it's still the half-time stage. It was an incredible 1-0 win. I still wouldn't back them necessarily to go to Italy and get the result in Florence in a few days' time. But whatever happens now, they can go out absolutely with their heads held high. If they get through, it is remarkable. It's a wonderful achievement. The group stages will feel brilliant because this tie is as hard as a knockout tie. As you said, Fiorentina were in the final and they weren't far away from winning that final either. West Ham just nicked it at the end, I think, if I remember back rightly on that Conference League final. So this is a very, very good team that they came up against. And I think the impression I took of that game was that it's everything that any fan would ever want their team to be. Not just lots of homegrown players, but that fighting spirit, that battling, the crowd all supporting them and on their side from minute one. You know, it's sort of the perfect thing. You know, you're the underdogs, you're against a tough opponent, and you just go out and try and just stick something on them. And it came off for Rapid on that occasion. And I think it might be the best game of their season already, which I think is the only potential downside. They might have already peaked too soon here. But that's, you know, that's nitpicking for no reason, because they did a wonderful job. They won through Marco Grill's penalty. There was a shirt tug on Maxi Hoffmann, who's one of the Austrians who came in deputising at the back. I prefer Maxi Hoffmann as a deputising centre-back than as a starting centre-back, personally. I think he's done well since he's come in, forced with the injury to Nenad Cvetkovic. Had a shirt tug, the number 20, the Hoffmann writing was all sort of stretched off the shirt, but Rolando Mandragora still had the audacity to turn around and look to the referee and say, what, you know, this is nothing, I do this all the time in Serie A. And I think Fiorentina did show a bit of the sort of the dark side of Serie A on a few occasions. But yeah, Nicky Heddle made a couple of saves, a couple of decent solid stops, but nothing absolutely world class or sort of top draw in terms of goalkeeping. He was just very solid. What about the away European ban for Fiorentina, Lee? Because you were in the ground. The away section looked to be filled with Rapid Vienna fans, which is pretty unusual. Do you think that helped in this sort of groundswell of support for Rapid in the game?
I think so. And I went to the post-match press conference, and the Fiorentina coach Vincenzo Italiano was actually playing up the fact that it's going to be a totally different picture in the second leg with our own fans behind us. So I think that as much as it would have boosted Rapid, it would have probably also made Fiorentina's life that little bit more difficult, because you don't even have that small pocket in the corner to run to if you score a goal to sort of spur you on. So yeah, I think it probably did have an impact on the game. And it does worry me a little bit about the second leg when they get to that probably quite a hostile atmosphere in Florence. A lot of them are very young players, this Rapid team. They don't have all that much European experience. So I suppose I would still expect Fiorentina to go through. But nonetheless, a superb display in the home leg.
I think, yeah, they can hold their heads high now, whatever happens in Fiorentina. Maybe that helps as well, because it means they can go and enjoy it. They didn't miss a chance. They did everything they could do in the home leg. Now they've just got to go and do the same. The defending was resolute at all times. If they can do that again, they will cause problems for Fiorentina. But yes, the 1-0 lead does not exactly look insurmountable for a team of Fiorentina's quality. However, I still think the reception, the reaction will feel so, so different. Even if they go out technically at the same stage as they did against Vaduz last year, it will feel very different. Mm-hmm. Let's have a look at some of those players in the Austrian 11, though, the all-Austrian 11. Matthias Seidel is somebody who's attracted a lot of praise on the pod this season. Marco Grull, I believe it was his 100th competitive appearance for Rapid as well, scored the penalty, converted that very, very calmly. Is there anyone you'd like to pick out, Lee, in the Rapid Vienna squad from that game?
Well, it's not just from that game, but just generally, and also in that game, I have been very, very impressed by Matthias Seidel so far. I think he looks really good. He's good with both feet. He's quite inventive. He's quick. He's a tricky player. And he makes things happen. I think he really brings Rapid's attack to life. So he would probably be my standouts. But there are lots of really good players in that team. You know, you said Nicholas Heddle is generally a very reliable figure. Jonas Auer bombing up and down the left flank. Marco Grull as well. Like, You could take your pick, really. And on that night, I think it would, in a way, even though there were some standout players, in a way, I think that the standout entity was the team in that. It's a cliche, isn't it? But they were all, to a man, brilliant.
Yeah, very, very good point. I think what you said about Matthias Seidel there has been how I used to think about Marco Grull, especially when he was newer at Rapid. That was his sort of trademark, making things happen, jinking runs, taking on players one-on-one. And he seems to be getting somewhere back to his best. I think he was a little bit flat for the last 12 months or so. Had flashes of brilliance, but not at his sort of level, really, maybe. And I think he's starting to find that again. Perhaps the introduction of another player with similar qualities, shall we say, who's sort of shining immediately, makes or helps you to pick up your game. So they've done really, really well. There's more players that we could mention, but let's move on to the league, because they came sort of crashing back down to earth with a bang in a way. A fantastic win against Fiorentina, and then VSG Tirol, the Bundesliga's bottom team, come to town, the second home game in 4 days. And VSG Tirol picked up a 1-1 draw, which will be seen and was celebrated like a win, really, for Thomas Silverberger's team. So what's the difference? Is this the problem at Rapid? Are we talking about that thing again where they get too excited or they get carried away? Or is this just one of those things that happens and you can't win every game?
I think it's one of those things. I think there's several factors here. The first one is that a lot of those players that started the Fiorentina game are in action again a few days later. It's a lot to be playing two games. I know a lot of teams do it, but it's still a big physical strain that VSK Tyrol don't have. So there's that side of it. But there's also the fact that I thought Rapid, based on the balance of play, actually really deserved to win. There was an outstanding goal from Luka Kronberger. The ball sort of came out to him, and it was sort of a curling side foot somehow from about 33 metres that looped over Hedl and went straight into the top corner. It was a wonderful goal.
33 metres is too specific to say from about 33 metres, Lee.
Well, it was 33.1 according to Sky. So.
I was going to say, you if you just said about 30 metres, I would have let it go. But it sounded like you knew the exact figure, but just weren't willing to share it with us. So I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I did, yeah. But then after that, you know, Rapid hit the post, they hit the bar, they had plenty of chances, they equalised through the excellent Seidel. So I thought that on another day, and most days, they would have won that game. So really, I think, you know, if you take the performance over the result, then they'll be very happy.
Yeah, so the performance was definitely a very good one. We've known for a while that missing chances has been a bit of an issue for Rapid, and you can't have Guido Burgstaller bailing you out week in, week out. Actually, they have had him bailing them out a lot, but he's not going to be able to do it every single time. Seidel did score a really nice goal. I think the issue with being a team that misses a lot of chances is that it sort of mentally is quite draining for you, for the fans. Your team sort of knows throughout the game you should be in a comfortable position, and the opposition gets a little mental boost of constantly knowing that they should be behind, you know, they should be out of the picture, but they're not. Or, you know, I think it's a sort of a Doppelbelastung in a way. It gives you a double like mental issue to deal with, creating a lot and not being able to score it. But the key ingredients are there. If Rapid can sort of find a way to turn that around, I think it's important that it's not all doom and gloom. Even after the 1-1 draw, there's still some very good key ingredients, and I think things are looking a bit more positive at Rapid than they have been. For VSK, an important point. They move on to 2 points and off the foot of the table with that as well, and that's impressive from them. And you're right to shout out that amazing goal from Kronberger. Interestingly, a Sturm Graz loanee, so it's not just Salzburg anymore who are loaning out the good players around the league table. The other European team in action from Austria this week or last week was LASK. They beat Zrinjski Mostar by 2-1 in the first leg in Linz. The only disappointment is that they were 2-2 and it finished 2-1. Robert Jules with an early double. I thought they were two very, very classy finishes. A decent night, but not a perfect one. And they will have a bit of a challenge, I think, in Mostar, won't they, with that 2-1 scoreline?
Yeah, it's probably not as clear-cut as they would have liked. I watched the opening stages of this game actually in the Rapid press room afterwards, and so I saw them take a pretty commanding 2-goal lead fairly early on. And then was quite surprised when I checked the score after the press conference a bit later in the evening to see that it was 2-1, because I think Lasker will probably feel that they should have been a bit further away by the time Zrinjski came back into it. But yeah, it's going to be a tough one in Bosnia. I still think LASK will just about do it, but it's going to be close, a bit closer than they would have liked.
So maybe LASK in the Europa League. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to watch. Jules, the nature of his two finishes, I think, were very, very nice. I called him classy a minute ago. He's a classy player, Robert Jules. But the chances that were given to him, it just opened up for him a little bit. And both times he was able to pick out the back of the net with really sweet strikes. And that's something that he repeated in slightly different circumstances in the Bundesliga this weekend as LASK beat Austria Vienna by 2-0. Can we say that things are picking up for Thomas Sagida at LASK after a very good week? If LASK sort of kick on from here, you'd have to say it's not been too bad the start of the season.
No, it's been all right. I mean, it has been a good week. And I think it's always very easy to stop at a snapshot moment in time and say that they're having a good season because, you know, recency bias sort of maybe creeps into it sometimes. They are still fifth and they are still already, I think, five or 6 points off the top. And when you think about the LASK of a couple of years ago that were, you know, challenging for the title, they're
7 points.
7 points off the top at this early stage. That's too much, really. But it depends what their ambitions are. If their ambitions are to finish third and to get into Europe again, then they're still very much in with a shout. But those other two clubs, Sturm Graz and Salzburg, are very much pulling away quite fast, aren't they?
They certainly are. We'll finish it there for part one then. Hopefully, Rapid and LASK will both be able to finish the job in their playoff second legs this week. We'll take a little break for the end of part one, and when we come back for part two, we'll talk about a legend who is leaving the Bundesliga. Welcome back to part two of this episode of the Other Bundesliga Pod. The legend in question from the end of part one there is Jakob Jantscher, JJ13 of SK Sturm Graz. he's leaving Sturm. I like that Transfermarkt said he's moving to a club unknown, but we know who that club is. We know who that club is. Do you know who that club is?
They begin with K, I think. That's about as far as I got. Is it Kitchi?
It is Kitchi of Hong Kong.
Yeah. I saw that Yantcha was a little bit disappointed that he's never had the opportunity in his career to play in the UEFA Champions League. I think he got up to the playoff round in previous years. But he will have the opportunity to play in the Asian Champions League with Kitchi. And it's a new challenge. We've seen a lot of people heading east from Europe this season and moving to Asian football, not many to Hong Kong. I've not really heard of players leaving Europe to go and play in Hong Kong before, but perhaps at the age of, I think, is he 34, he just wants a new challenge and something new. So it's a shame for the Bundesliga, but he's been a fantastic servant to the league, a fantastic servant to Sturm Graz, and I think Sturm Graz have shown that they do have very capable replacements in attacking positions as well.
Yeah, he's been very greatly received by Kitchi of Hong Kong. They're touting him as a really big transfer, which must feel quite nice. And I think it's nice to remember that footballers are people. It's a bit easier to do that in Austria than it is in, you know, maybe the Premier League or La Liga or something, or even in the Champions League generally. But footballers are people. He's 34 years of age. He's played in Turkey. He's played in a few different countries. He's been to Holland as well, I think. So he's not somebody who's just stayed in Austria for his whole career. And he wants another chance before the end of his career to move abroad and experience something new. And he's going to take his family there. Hong Kong seems like a nice place to go. You know, I'm all for it. I think it's a good idea. I think he's not been in the matchday squads at Sturm this season, really. He's hardly going to feature. He knows that. The club obviously hold him up as a legend, rightly so. They're respecting his wishes to leave and play some more football, achieve something else. And he's gone to 12-time Hong Kong champions, Kitchi. And they've got quite an exciting AFC Champions League group, if you don't mind me you know, imparting a bit of Asian football knowledge on this. They've got Gyeongbuk of the Korea Republic. They've got Bangkok of Thailand and Lion City Sailors in their AFC Champions League group. And Lion City Sailors might be known to some English fans because I believe they went 1-0 up against Tottenham in the pre-season friendly. It might have been Ange Postecoglou's like first game of their Asia tour or something. And everyone's like, oh, things will be all right this season. And then it was Lion City Sailors 1, Tottenham 0. For a fleeting moment, at least. I think Tottenham comfortably went through to win that game. But nonetheless, exciting teams, an exciting group. You know I love the AFC Champions League anyway, so I'm going to be delighted if I get the chance to
commentate on Yantcha.
Yeah, if there's some kitschy games that I get to do and Yantcha's in it, it'll be great. I'll be able to sort of impart all this wisdom about about Yantcha and maybe less so about some of his teammates, unfortunately. So no, I wouldn't do that because that's unprofessional. But still, he's won 4 Austrian Cups, 2 Austrian Bundesligas. He was Sturm Graz's Player of the Year in 2022. He's been a bit of a goal and assist, you know, goal scorer point legend as well. And he even won the Golden Boot in Austria 1 year with, I think, quite a low total, to be fair. I think he won it with like 13 or 14 or something. But still, nonetheless, you know, he's won the Golden Boot in Austria. So he's pretty much done it all.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were joking. Because it's like the Golden Boot in Austria is like, in terms of doing it all, that's quite low down on the pecking order. I thought that was a joke. You meant it seriously, which I think shows your love for Austrian football.
No, I meant that he's done all of those things, like winning the League's Cups and the Golden Boot, therefore he's done it all, rather than the Golden Boot being the one that makes it all.
That's what I took it as, yeah.
No, the Golden Boot isn't the one. But okay, fair enough. Anyone who wins the Golden Boot, they've achieved everything you could possibly do in football. Giacomo Vioni, retire now. Wherever you are, you're done. Yeah. You've won the Austrian Golden Boot.
Well, he joined one, it didn't he? So he can't retire yet.
Okay, fair enough. So maybe it isn't the be-all and end-all. Nonetheless, how about this though? 257 Bundesliga appearances, mm-hmm. 64 goals, and 63 assists. That's big.
That is great. Yeah, I mean that's some haul. I think, sort of from a symmetry perspective, he'll be a bit disappointed he didn't get that one more assist. But it's it's fantastic, isn't it? Like that output as well, just consistently. I've sort of regarded him as probably being one of the Bundesliga's top 5 players while we've been covering the league since 2018. I don't know about you, but he stands right up there for me.
Yeah, absolutely. A proper club legend. It's nice to see that. And I know it's nice that he's also regarded as a club legend, despite having spent time abroad. You know, I think he won the second division with Rizespor in Turkey, and he played at Nijmegen in Eredivisie. So he's still a Sturm legend, even though he's played for Salzburg as well. You know, he won 3 Austrian Cups with Sturm, but he won the rest of his Austrian trophies with Salzburg. But nonetheless, immer noch you know, a legend at Sturm Graz. It was really nice to see him getting that farewell. It's unfortunate that Christian Ilz is not sentimental enough to put him in the matchday squad against Blau-Weiss Linz, because they blew apart Blau-Weiss Linz with 4-1, the final result in the Bundesliga this weekend. And the one for Blau-Weiss Linz was incredibly fortunate as well. So they could have snuck Jakob Jancic in for a farewell game before he went to Hong Kong. But, you know, that's not the way that's not the way a professional team operates, really, is it? But I still think they could have done it.
I think they could have done it and put him on the bench and waited until there were 3 goals to the good and then put him on, which did happen. So, yeah, shame.
Shame, yes, but never mind. The Sturm Graz not conceding, the clean sheet record has been set nonetheless after 4 games and however many minutes that it was before David Affengruber knocked the ball in but off the back of his own post. Still, they set the record, but it's now been broken. They have conceded. Will they be disappointed by that, or will they be happier with the nature of an easy win against Blau-Weiss?
Well, you have to debate really if they have conceded, because it was their own player that stuck the ball in the back of the net. It was a David Affengruber own goal, so you know they're still waiting for an opposition player to score, and I suppose that's got to count for something.
Yeah, it was actually also a typical David Affengruber goal. You know, he pops up at the back post to knock the ball into the net so often as at the right end. This time he unfortunately did it at the wrong end. The shot came back off the post, it went across the face of goal, back off the post, and he was chasing it in to clear it, and it just, you know, bounced off the post and off his knee and in. So yeah, Kjell Scherpen has been beaten, but only by David Affengruber. Still, a comfortable win for them. It was almost roles reversed this weekend in the Bundesliga, wasn't it? Because Salzburg got pushed all the way in a 2-1 win against VHC, and it was Sturm's turn to turn on the goals with their 4. Vladarczyk kind of netting a hat-trick. I think we'll give him a moral hat-trick at least, because the 3rd goal that he scored to complete his hat-trick, in inverted commas, was an absolute belter from Vladarczyk. It was the first one he scored inside a minute, just a finish, took a touch off the goalkeeper and then sort of saw it over the line. Second one, a towering header, really nice header. He's a very good aerial threat, Vladarczyk. And the 3rd one, it was like Lewandowski-esque to me. It was a turn and quick shot then up into the top of the roof of the net from just inside the box. It was ruled out though, because I think Mohamed Fassani was standing in front of the goalkeeper. I'm never quite sure how I feel about those. Goalkeeper wouldn't have saved that anyway. That was well out of his reach. But Fusaini was sort of there, so he was given as the offside player. What do you think about that?
I saw the Sky Sports highlights, which I don't think included that scene. But while we are on the topic of this game, I would just highlight that, you know, we've talked about Jakub Jancic going to Hong Kong and the fact that I said they've got some very capable replacements. I think that the pairing of Vladarczyk, is that right? No, that's about as good as it's going to be, I think.
I can't give you any authoritative tips on Polish pronunciation, to be fair.
But him and William Boving seem to be teaming up really nicely at the moment. I think Boving set Vladarczyk up for 2 of the 4 goals in that game, and they look like they're developing a little bit of an understanding, albeit one of them was from a corner. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see to what degree we notice Jancic's absence, I suppose, because those two do look like they're going to be quite prolific. And I wonder if this Vladarczyk fella is going to potentially be the new Rasmus Højlund, and he might go for a sort of a big money sum soon.
Could well happen. I think, as I said earlier, with Jancic sort of not really featuring, it's not long ago. Like I said, he was 2022 Player of the Year, and he was really influential still not very long ago at Sturm. But then he picked up an injury. I believe it was the end of a couple of seasons ago or early last season. I can't remember exactly when it was. But that sort of took away his first team momentum, and he's never really got it back. So I'm not surprised, really, that he wants to go away. But I think who might be harder to replace are 2 other players who might well be out of the door by the time you hear this podcast, because Andreas Schicker, the sporting director of Sturm, set a deadline because there are so many clubs interested in Alexander Prass. I think the deadline's Monday, as in the recording day of this podcast. And if nobody completes the move, there's several teams interested from Serie A, from Ligue 1 in France, from the German Bundesliga as well. If nobody completes the move for Prass by the day of recording, then he'll be staying in Graz. So that could definitely go either way. But then there was a shocking bit of news in terms of Sturm transfers, in that Gregory Wüthrich, the Abwehr chef, I guess you'd call him, the sort of leader of the back line in many ways, might be going to Augsburg, who are in an injury hit situation in their defensive needs. They might just, you know, dip into the Austrian Bundesliga and take Gregory Wüthrich with them. And I think Prass, they've had more time to line up a replacement. There's some names being mooted, and that's why they want the deal to be done by today. So they've got time to line up a midfield replacement for Prass. But Wüthrich could be a bit harder to replace, given that it sort of seems to have come out of the blue. Maybe talks opened probably this weekend only.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think as well, because Prass is a young player and he's been catching a lot, or he's been drawing a lot of attention to his performances for a long time, I think it's always been a question of time with him. We know he's going to go, it's more just when. But with Wüthrich, I would have hoped that he would be one of those players. Because he's very important to them. He's like part of the spine of their team. He's a leading player, he's a senior player. I would have hoped that they might be able to keep on to him, really. So while there's sort of an inevitability about Prass going, I would love to see Wüthrich stay, if that's possible. So Augsburg, hands off.
Yes, absolutely. Nobody who we've seen on Twitter wants that move to go through except Augsburg fans. But we'll be watching the news carefully this week because both of them, or neither of them perhaps, could be completed in the next couple of days or even the next couple of hours. Who knows? It's sort of all hands on deck in the transfer department at Sturm. They've got some very good young players coming through who might be able to replace them. But in terms of like-for-like strength, the only positive is that both Prass and Wüthrich have contracts that would command pretty hefty fees. So they might have to, you know, potentially even break their transfer records to try and retain the strength and replace those players. So that could be perhaps more difficult than Jakob Janscher. But taking things back to the Austrian Bundesliga, Sturm, as we said earlier, sort of had roles reversed with Salzburg this weekend. Sturm winning 4-1 against Blau-Weiß Linz, getting the goals. I think they'd only scored 6 goals all season before that, and they scored 4 this weekend. Salzburg, who've been steamrolling their game so far, went 1-0 down against VRC and winning only 2-1 in the end. So a bit of a switch. How did you see the Salzburg game?
Well, this one was a tough one, wasn't it? This was Gerhard Struber going up against his old club, the club that he, you know, was in charge of for a memorable European campaign. And also a Wolfsburg team that had been unbeaten previously before this game this season. I mean, that's sort of a little bit of a misleading statistic because it was 1 win and 3 draws, but nonetheless, they were unbeaten. And they did pretty well, I think, especially in the first half when they took the lead. And I loved the fact that they let the ball run out of play because they knew Scott Kennedy would take that long throw. And that was the weapon, really, that instigated the first goal. This long throw into the box from Scott Kennedy, flicked on by Baumgartner, and then hooked home by Mohamed Bamba, which was his first Bundesliga goal. And I still do love an acrobatic celebration, so that was all very, very aesthetically pleasing.
Oh yeah, he executed that celebration perfectly, and I like that you mentioned the long throw-in because that was really funny. It was the ball came out to the left flank, and it wasn't like one of those where they just let it go. It was that they had to really sort of will the ball over the line. It was like curling. You know, they had so much time to pick up the ball on the left and maybe play across or do something with it. But it's like, no. They've obviously studied it and trained it. You know, it was like doing like the curling sweep to try and get the ball over the line, which it just went over. And then lo and behold, they scored from it. So yes, classy intervention there from VRT. And Scott Kennedy did some very good defending in that game as well. So yeah, they really tested Gerhard Struber's Salzburg. But I feel like Salzburg are looking very fired up this season. I feel like Struber's looking very fired up. They've won 5 from 5. I get the feeling that perhaps they're in a different position than they were in the last few seasons, in that under Marsh, under Jessler as well, the managers, yeah, they had something to prove, but it was kind of seen as their first big managerial job. And so they were in that kind of position where they're learning the ropes. They know they're learning the ropes. They know there's high expectations, but there's also some slack. And I feel like it's different with a more experienced manager like Struber, in that he knows he's got to prove himself here. If he doesn't succeed and succeed properly, winning the league isn't enough for Struber. He's got to do it in quite an Überliegen fashion, you know, like a dominant display. And he seems to be like really sinking his teeth into that challenge. And I wonder if they're a little bit more fired up than they have been before.
Yeah, that's right. It's a situation that I didn't really think of. But as you say, Salzburg generally tend to have these young managers who are cutting their teeth, but, you know, are looking like they're destined to go on to bigger things in other countries. And now they've got a coach who's come back to his homeland. And you're right, he does look properly fired up, because when Wolfsburg went ahead right on the stroke of half time, you see him marching down the tunnel at half time. You know, he desperately wanted to win, and you could see on the sidelines in the second half, he was really like, it wasn't a game he didn't care about. He wants to win every single game now. And that is a little bit ominous, because we could have really done with Salzburg having, you know, like we talk about every season, Salzburg perhaps not having such a dominant season where they win every game, and Sturm Graz might have a chance. But yeah, I think he does have a point to prove. He's won the first five games, as you say. And I think Jaisler set the record, didn't he, for most consecutive wins upon starting in the Austrian Bundesliga. I can't remember how many it was in the end. It might have been 11 or 12. But you have to imagine Struber might have his eye on that record.
Yeah, definitely. He seems like quite an intense bloke to look at him. And you can see it on the sidelines too. And yeah, I wonder if that is just giving Salzburg a little bit of a different edge. And perhaps it's what the younger players really need as well. Because Karim Konate didn't score for a change this weekend. Konate didn't get in the goals, but they found the two goals nonetheless. And they took them well and ended up coming back to win 2-1, an important one for them. So they're exactly where you'd expect them to be in the table right now. Five wins from five games. Sturm are exactly where you'd expect them to be. Unbeaten, doing very, very well, but just behind. There is another unbeaten team, but we'll discuss all of the rest of the Bundesliga in part three of this podcast. We are back for part three of this episode of the Other Bundesliga podcast. There are three teams yet to win a game. There are three teams who are unbeaten, which is quite a nice symmetry. We mentioned that Salzburg are top and Sturm are second, but there's a team surprising everybody, or at least surprising me, in the Austrian Bundesliga this season, and that is SCR Altach. They are in the top six after match day five. They've got 7 points from their five games. They've had some hammerings and some setbacks, but they've been able to deal very well with all of those, and they've picked up a second win of the season by winning the Lendler derby and absolutely demolishing Austria Lustenau by 3-0 this weekend. That is a big surprise to me, the way that they're going at the moment.
Yeah, I think this result came as a bit of a surprise to me because in the apple juice derbies last season in Vorarlberg, which we coined them after our trip there and, you know, being presented with apple juice at every possible turn.
And the giant apple juice carton.
And the giant apple juice.
Don't forget the giant apple juice carton.
Don't want to forget that. Such a monumental moment for us in Vorarlberg. I think it was three wins for Lustenau and one draw in Lustenau's first Bundesliga season. So it was definitely very much green and white dominance in that derby last season. And so Altach will just be really happy, I think, to get off the mark since Lustenau's promotion and secure the bragging rights. I think this game might not have gone the way it did had it not been for the way it started. And that was a corner coming into the Lustenau box after just 61 seconds. And Dominik Schill, the usually very dependable...
Would you call that about a minute? Or is it 61 seconds exactly?
61 seconds, Tom. 61 seconds, exactly. That's what the Sky... I'm just going with the Sky Sports figures. and he sort of... Yeah, the goalkeeper palmed the ball into his own net. And I think from that point, Altach sort of felt perhaps this could be their time. And they did build on that. There was a free kick after 25 minutes. About 25 minutes. And Guganig struck it really well, shielded well to get over to it, palmed it against the post. And then Christian Gierbauer, the man who Simon says has the best hair in the Austrian Bundesliga, tapped it home from close range. And I think from then it was sort of Altach's game to lose. There was a very terrible miss from Yadali Diaby that could have sort of brought Lustenau back into the game, but he missed that. And then Paul Koller making it 3-0. I think in the end it comes across perhaps as a more one-sided scoreline than perhaps the balance of play reflects, but nonetheless it's a big result for Altach because they've spent the last couple of seasons really taking it to the wire when it comes to relegation. And I really think that, you know, I thought coming into this season that they were basically a bit like, we've described them before, haven't we, as the Austrian Everton, in that they've been close several times, but this is probably the season where they go down. And they're looking pretty good. It's very early days, and it obviously matters more what happens after the split because of this point halving. But yeah, impressive so far.
Yeah, when you're talking about three teams in the Bundesliga who are yet to win a game, they've got two wins. You know, they're quite well clear of that. Only two defeats from their first five, so they've picked up points on three occasions. I think some credit really has to be given to Joachim Standfest, the new coach, as well. He's only young. I think he's 43. Former player at GIK, at Sturm Graz, at VRC as well. I think he ended his career with VRC. And he's been the Austria Vienna under-18 coach most recently. He was the Austria Vienna under-18 coach, Amstetten head coach before that, Admira assistant. And I noticed he might have plundered some good players from his old teams, actually, because he's been around the block a little bit. And as I said, quite recently involved as a player as well. So he's been a senior player and now a young coaching assistant and manager. But if you look at the incoming and outgoing transfers at Altach this summer, they've kind of quietly gone about a massive reshuffle, and he's put his stamp on this squad. very, very quickly. I think they've got more than 10 players have left. I think about 13 players left, and about 12 or 13 came in as well. So massive turnaround. If you think of that squad change, that's virtually half the squad going and then coming. And if you look at players, you mentioned Paul Koller, who scored the third goal. Really important young centre-back as well. So they've got a bit of youth, a bit of, sort of inexperience in a way at centre-back from Giacar. But Giacar were very, very good last season. So there's obviously some real quality there. Gebauer coming back, somebody who knows the Bundesliga from Arminia Bielefeld. Dejan Stojanovic, the new goalkeeper who's coming from Jan Regensburg. He's actually played at the Vorarlberg Academy. He's come through the Vorarlberg Academy and now he's back to Lindler after spells at Middlesbrough, Bologna, Crotone, Ingolstadt. He's been everywhere. I thought I recognised the name, but now I see where he's from. So he's been good in goal. They've got Santos, the striker from Dornbirn. They've got Ingolic.
Balotelli.
Yeah, exactly. The AIA Malaga Balotelli. They've got Ingolic, former Sturm, and I believe St. Pölten player, who looked like a very talented player at one point, and then his career has just stalled a little bit, and now they're trying to give him a chance to revive it in the Bundesliga. Lukacevic from Admira, who I really liked when Admira were back in the Bundesliga, and he was just a young player coming through. So they've brought in all of these players, and they seem to have managed to make them fit. The team didn't really have a very strong identity in recent years, and I think it almost makes it easier to try and fit those players in, because it's not like there's a really clear system where a player might not perhaps blend in well with that. It's like Joachim Standfest is now making the system and he's brought in the tools to do that, and apparently it's paying dividends. So Alsat going very, very well. A 3-0 derby win. It included one of my favourite moments that I've seen, certainly this weekend, maybe this season, and it's Dominic Schiel, the unfortunate Lustenau goalkeeper. Not only did he, as you say, sort of palm this corner or punch this corner into his own net in the opening stages of the game and then get extremely unlucky with the second one after a good save. But the third one, it went in sort of, he was doing like a cricket long boundary and the ball went in sort of through his legs as he was like moving across the goal line. And then he didn't need to, but he sort of rolled over in sort of the agony of having conceded a third. He rolled over and then rolled over again and again. So he sort of does like a weird roll. He's like on his knees and then rolls all the way across the goal line. And I think it's worth watching just for that, because it is objectively a very hilarious motion that he does. And I can sort of understand it. It's like he doesn't want to stop and wake up to the reality. And if somebody could sort of make a gif of Dominic Schiel like rolling around
tumbleweed.
The world. basically tumbleweeding around the world. I think that would be very, very funny. But yes, unfortunate for Schiel, because there wasn't really much he could have done about goals number 2 and 3. Anyway, Altac doing really, really well. We'll move on to round up the rest of the Bundesliga before we finish off for this pod. Austria Klagenfurt, they are one of the aforementioned unbeaten teams, along with, you guessed it, Salzburg and Sturm. Austria Klagenfurt, a 3-0 win for them as well this weekend, away in Hartberg.
Yeah, I think this was probably a scoreline that flattered them a little bit, at least based on the first half. But I think Peter Packel, who was making his 250th Bundesliga appearance as a coach, had a point in his post-match interview, because he said, it's football, it's about who scores the goals. And it was Austria Klagenfurt that got the goals. So, you know, he's right. They did sort of look a bit, I wouldn't say out of sorts in the first half, but Hartberg sort of looked on the front foot and had a little bit more of the possession. But that lovely goal from Andy Irving, your fellow Scot, Tom, on the stroke of half-time, that was a really nice goal.
Yeah, I've got to get my weekly Andy Irving mention in. And I only do that because Klagenfurt are doing really well and they deserve it. And I think Irving, I used to think he had the ability to sort of finish off if a chance came his way. But now I think he's actually clearly displaying that he's got a very good shooting technique. He's a proper, you know, he's got a proper eye for the corner of the goal. And this one just sort of, yeah, it fell his way on the edge of the box. There were still 2 or 3 Hartberg defenders over there with him. He got there just quickest, but took it brilliantly. A left-footed volley, arrowed it powerfully into the corner. Sweet strike, clean strike. Found the bottom corner, 1-0 up. That's important in these tight games. And Sinan Karvainer, who scored the other two and who's linked up brilliantly with Andy Irving this season as well, he picked out the bottom corner perfectly for both of his goals. He made those finishes look really, really easy, but he did that thing where you clip it past the keeper and just bury it right inside the post, where it's essentially a perfect finish. You know, if somebody of real calibre did that, you'd say, yeah, they do that because they're really, really good. And at the moment, Sinan Karvainer is really, really good. He's playing very, very well. And he and Irving have linked up specifically for quite a lot of goals this season, and they were denied one this time because Irving was about to get the ball. Irving got taken out, which ended up with a yellow card for Hartberg. But in the motion of Andy Irving being taken out, the ball then bounced through to Sinan Carvajna or eventually made its way to Carvajna. So I contend that Irving would have set Carvajna up for another goal, but he was taken out and Carvajna scored anyway.
Yeah, Carvajna is now joint top of the Bundesliga goal scoring charts as well. Obviously very early days in the season, but he's level with, well, two players. Can you guess who he's level with?
Ooh, I should be able to work this out. Karim Konate?
Yeah, one of Salzburg.
And who else has banged in a lot of goals this season? Simon Vladacek?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey.
Top stuff. But yeah, he's on four goals from four games. I think he's played one fewer than Konate. I'm not sure about Vladacek. But yeah, I mean, he's looking very good. I think that Austria Klagenfurt have proven that it's no fluke as well, because they've had two seasons in a row where they've got into the top six, along with other clubs that you'd expect to be there, you know, the Viennese clubs, LASK, Sturm, Salzburg. But Austria Klagenfurt have been that other name in the top six, and they're just proving that it's not a fluke. It's consistently good work. They're even doing it with Gamichi Bazi back in the squad, who only got a yellow card. So Mr. Walking Red Card only got a booking in this game. So they've managed to tame him, and I think that's got to be one of the secret ingredients to their incredible form.
I don't know if I mentioned this. It was a couple of weeks ago. I think it was when Sturm had Schnegg sent off against Austria Klagenfurt. Schnegg walked off from his red card, and Gamichi Bazi was getting ready to take the resulting free kick for Austria Klagenfurt, and Gamichi Bazi just like reached out and gave him a little pat and a little handshake. And I would imagine, I don't know what he said, but I would imagine what he said was something along the lines of, I know all about what it's like to be sent off in the Austrian Bundesliga, mate. Don't worry, you'll get over it. But I thought it was funny that Gamichi Bazi was the player that Schnegg sort of had to walk past in a huff after being red carded. Yeah. But yeah, they are doing that in spite of that. I am interested that Pakult said after a 3-0 victory, we didn't play well. Because from what I saw, it looked like Klagenfurt did play well, and they look like a really good football team. They're not surprising anyone, as you said, to be in the top six by now. They simply are a top six team. And I think at the moment, they're in third, and they're the third best team in the Austrian Bundesliga. They're unbeaten. They could have more points than they've got. They've probably been disappointed with a couple of the draws that they've had this season as well. And I think they're just doing a lot of things right. We say always in that midfield pack in the Bundesliga, anyone can kind of beat anyone. And they do, you know, it will happen this season. But I think they're not just doing that thing where anyone can beat anyone. They are just actually playing consistently better football than a large number of their rivals. So I think they deserve to be where they are. And I think everything suggests that they will be top six again in this season.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think also, just going back to what Pakult said about them not playing well, that could be that classic coach thing where it's easier to hammer your message home when you've won a game rather than, you know, having a demoralised team. So it could just be that. But I really like the guy. We had a discussion, I can't remember if it was last week or further back, about Bundesliga coaches we'd love to have a pint with. And I just think he's such a character, Peter Pakult. Peter Pakult, if you're listening, will you have a beer with me?
Well, it was Pakult against Schopp. Schopp against Pakult this weekend, and we voted Schopp as our number one to have a beer with. So that we could have done it. That, you know, if we'd have gone to that game,
we could have had a beer with both of them.
Get on the phone. We could have arranged it afterwards. Although I'm not sure Marcus Schopp would be in a great mood to have a beer after the game, having been beaten 3-0 by Austria Klagenfurt. In any case, we can only speculate on who would be good to have a beer with for now. Lee, I know you're good to have a beer with. I hope that I'm good to have a beer with as well. I'm going to go and do that. I'll stay at the Long Hall. Should we get some food and some beers here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not? All right then, we'll sign off for our Match Day 5 pod. We'll cross our fingers for the European ties ahead, and we'll be back after Match Week 6 has finished next weekend, where we're planning to get down to Carinthia. Mm. Is it going to happen?
I certainly hope so. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, fingers crossed. VRT, here we come. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.